Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer here at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. And we are, it just gets better and better with more champions. Forrest Griffin is actually you, the UFC's legend, Hall of Famer. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for representing all of Las Vegas.
Yeah, of course.
You're amazing. Another Las Vegas hero in the business strategy section. He is giving me so many great pieces of advice and clarity in business. People ask me all the time, who do I look up to in business? And it's Bill Walsh, providing also some great stages for future speakers. So I appreciate that as well, Bill.
It's an honor to be here.
You're amazing.
Thanks, bro.
And Stefano Sinacropi, he's down at the end. He is getting into the world of media, but he's been saving lives for over 20 years as one of the leading surgeons, orthopedic surgeon, spinal surgeon as well. Thanks for joining me.
Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, you're in for a treat. This is my older brother, not much older, but he has changed my life. His name is Tim Story. He's an acclaimed life strategist that most people know, author, and the host of the Miracle Mentality podcast. He's known as the comeback coach for all of the famous people like Robert Downey Jr., Charlie Sheen, Grant Cardone, Lewis House, Fidel Sassoon, and Kanye West, even. He's changing the way that people look at things, and he has changed my life, and he is so kind and generous to take his time to be and share with us. Thanks, Tim, for joining us.
I want to tell you, you're looking very svelte.
That's what my daughter said.
Meltzer, you look so good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, you know, I want to start because we learn from so many different people, and one of the difficulties of speaking a lot and doing interviews is I forget who taught me what lesson, you know, and I know I'm like, oh, be kind to your future self. Okay, that was my brother, but I'm not saying my so-and-so, but there's something that Tim Story said that was impactful, is my favorite quote, which is you're either humble or you're about to be. And it really made me think, and it's changed so many lives, and I keep repeating it, but I do give you credit, which is God will not give you an invitation without knowing the limitations. Mm-hmm. And the most terrifying part of my life and my recovery was I got an invitation from God, and I didn't believe it was an invitation from God. It was a calling. At the time, I wasn't even sure I believed in God anymore. And that invitation was to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. And I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know what to tell. And when Tim Story said, you won't receive an invitation without God knowing your limitations, that is a powerful statement. For you, Tim, how is that applicable to your life?
I believe that God always, throughout history, calls what I call shaky people to do sturdy projects.
Ooh.
And that's the beauty of how he sees people. In Hebrews 11:32, it says that all the greats of God, and he goes through David and Samuel, it says God turned their weaknesses plural, not just one weakness, to strength, and they became powerful. So many of us, we start in a shaky place, but God knows we're there, but he knows how powerful he is, and he turns that shaky into sturdy.
Forrest, I know you're feeling that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tim. I had a question. In the total mindset assessment, you have the six kind of fundamentals that, or just like six things that all of the means of your life kind of fall into. Why did you come up with those six, or how did that come about? And was there like a seventh, or was there, you know, were you thinking about doing it differently? I'm just trying to assess my own life really quickly.
Great question. So like all of us, I love to study. So since I was a teenager, I've been reading so many different people's books. But somebody that really helped me at the beginning with that category is a name that we don't often talk about, but he helped even people like David Meltzer, and that's Dennis Waitley. And so I saw some of those ideas from him and saw some of the ideas from other people and decided to put my own ingredients to them and then make it sound with my tone and my way. And I think that that's the key with anything, with any idea that we get, to make sure that we always give credit where credit is due, but you could put your own tone on it. So there's certain things that we've all put our own tone on.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I teach something at the gym, like a technique, like a fighting technique, you know, you don't have the physiology I do. You don't have the same exact coordination, reach, whatever. So you're going to do it a little differently. And in doing that, like in doing your reps, it kind of becomes your own. It may have started like from a concept that I showed you, but because your body's going to work slightly different and you have a slightly different style, it kind of becomes its own thing. Very cool. Thank you.
I just got a couple quick questions for you. How do you stay in the realm of innovation? You're always innovating. You're always... And I've seen you speak a number of times, and I'm always sitting there taking tons of notes, and I can always feel your energy. The minute you walk on that stage, the whole place changes. And it's a great gift that you have to move a room. And I think it's really, really important that people understand, how do you keep innovating? And question two is, what projects are you working on that you're most excited about?
I will say this, just like you and the other gentlemen that are hosting today, it's the power of collaboration. And I learned this from Berry Gordy. Berry Gordy said, Stevie Wonder would not have had as many hits if Marvin Gaye was not in the room.
That's right.
Marvin Gaye would not have had as many hits if Smokey Robinson was not in the room. So with Motown, they had the umbrella where these guys would jump from studio to studio to studio, and they would collaborate. My strength is collaboration. So I love to collaborate with people. Because what I don't know, you know. What I'm not saying, you might be saying. So I think the power of collaboration has kept me, as the young people say, in the cut. Because you're right. I've been doing this now 45 years. And for some reason, I continue to rise. And part of it is the power of collaboration.
What are you working on now that you're most excited about?
I'm excited about this movement that I have called Lead with Love. Mm. I've now been to 83 countries of the world, largest crowd, 85,000 at one time. And I remember speaking one time in South Africa and saw Nelson Mandela walk in to see me speak. And I thought, I might be onto something if Nelson is coming to watch me speak. And so what he said to me is that, Tim, you move in love, you move in love, you move in love. And that stayed with me. So I have a movement called Lead with Love, and David Meltzer is a part of it as well. We do masterminds. We do mid-sized events. We're going to do big events. And I'm going to do it literally all over the world. Lead with Love.
It's, honored to have you on the program today. So the power of words to move people out of their... out of their rut, out of where they're stuck, out of the darkest of holes. You have an incredible power to do that, and you've done amazing things, and obviously, you know, worked all over the world and work with amazing people. You know, me as a standing spine surgeon, I've been practicing for 20 years, and you know, I've seen so much despair and so many people that just do not have hope. And they're in a bad place. And so, you know, we all have to play to our strength. And you know, at some point I decided that one of my strengths is communicating with people, because I've always resonated with my patients. That's how I built such a large practice. I love talking to people, and I really deeply feel like they become my family, and I want to help them, and I want to do everything. And at some point I made this decision that I wanted to start transitioning over into speaking about my experiences and everything that I've seen, and try to, you know, come as a kid from the Bronx that came from absolutely nothing, to just try to teach people how to live better lives, be CEOs of their own health and things like that. So my question to you is, you know, for people like us that are newer to the speaking game, but really just like genuinely love it. Like when I hear you talking about speaking in front of tens of thousands of people, like that makes me like, I would, if you said, hey, come and speak in front of 10,000 people tonight in Africa, I'd figure out a supersonic jet to get me there, because I'd go and do it. So how, like, for, you know, for those, you know, what's the, you know, like, what's the kind of, what's the way to resonate best, you know, with people and to just to grow that, because it's very different one-on-one. A lot of people can be really powerful one-on-one, but then when you're trying to speak to a much bigger and broader audience, and we touched on this a little bit last night, like what's the, you know, I don't want to say what's the secret. There is no one secret. Our you know, the secret she left. But anyway, what would your advice be? You know, to do, other than to just do it and keep doing it and pour your, you know, heart and soul into it. What else would you advise?
That is a great question. And I have a really good answer for you. So,
and I'll let you know tomorrow.
All you gentlemen on the panel are experts at something, masters at something, and watch what I do with this. When you get a revelation of something, like you have as a doctor, when you have a revelation leads to conviction. So it drops about 14 inches from your mind into your heart. So revelation to conviction. Conviction then leads to action. So when I'm on that stage, I have already studied 30 hours. So watch out. My message is going to come out of my pores. So the revelation of the message has led to conviction, and now you feel the action. So I remember coming off the stage of Oprah Winfrey at UCLA Royce Hall. We were doing an event, and Brené Brown was in the back. And after I got done speaking, she grabbed me by the face and said, "Holy shit." And I said, I must have moved the crowd.
Yeah, you did. And you keep and continue to move the crowd. Beautiful. I was bragging to Bill Walsh as we had a fireside chat last night. I said, there's few people like you, Bill, but Tim, when I get an opportunity to share in a fireside situation where it could go all night with the amount of wisdom and nuggets and emotion that's shared, and blessed to be part of your movement. And we're working on a project called Act Like a Champion You Are, and in divine time, it'll keep growing as we keep progressing together as friends and collaborate. But you know, when you're with the right people, when you're resonating with them, and when you get that one-on-one, you have to be able to do it one-on-one, and it grows to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16. And pretty soon the numbers are irrelevant. I will mention one last thing about today that's different than the stages that especially Bill, Tim, and I have stepped on for so many years, is I find it fascinating, like even with my own team, that I'll do a video and they'll say, oh, it didn't do that well. You know, only 42,000 people watched it. And I'm thinking, because it sparked me when you said, I'm like, if somebody called me right now and said, you need to be at Petco Stadium to do a three-minute speech on the mound. Now, remember, Petco holds 42,000, and at a stadium, most people aren't paying attention to you.
Right.
But I still, even knowing that, for whatever reason, I would fly immediately down to San Diego to get on to that. But yet these videos, I have 42,000 people who watch the whole video, and they don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate the impact. So as much as you sit in front of audiences of 80,000, millions of people every day watch Tim's story, watch Bill Walsh. They may even watch Forrest now. But it's an incredible opportunity for those people who have revelation and conviction, that have passion, purpose, and even to create prosperity through that passion and purpose, so they can help more people and create more content and create more movement. That's what Tim's story is doing. And he's timeless, effortless, and you know he's in the divine direction. We are blessed to consider Tim's story family of ours and family of Office Hours. Tim's story, God bless you, and thank you for joining us.